Hello and welcome to Strong Tower Radio. I'm your host, Tom Majeure. Today's program, we're going to be focusing on one of our favorites, which is farm stew. In fact, we have Joy Kaufman, founder and president, executive director of Farm Stew. Welcome back to Strong Tower Radio Feature.
Thank you so much, Tom. It's exciting to be here and to be joining with your listening audience. We have lots of friends in Michigan and hope to make many more.
Absolutely. You are one of my wife's favorite charities. So she really loves the work that you're doing. And as we go through this interview, I think it'll become more evidence why she appreciates Farm Stew. Joy, would you lead us in a word of prayer?
I'd be happy to. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for the breath of life and just the experience of life that many of us get to have. And we know, Lord Jesus, you want all people to experience abundant life, but there's also an enemy that comes to do nothing but kill, steal, and destroy. And so, Lord, we pray that through the message of Farm Stew that many people can learn about your ways and what we call your recipe for abundant life. And as we're sharing it throughout the world, that the listeners can also experience abundant life themselves. We pray this in your holy and powerful name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Well, Joy, you're one of our guests that we have from time to time, but the Strong Tower Radio Network continues to grow in the number of stations and the number of listeners. So give our new listeners an idea of who you are and your personal journey, because that led to Farm Stew to some degree.
Yes, thank you so much. Well, so my personal journey really starts as a young girl in high school, realizing that there was many people around the world that didn't even have clean water in their homes or even latrines. And it started me thinking about the poor in developing countries. And it was a passion and I think a calling that came on my life in those early years. Later, studying nutrition with a focus in international development during my undergrad, and really feeling a call to help combat malnutrition, and went on to get a Master's of Public Health from Johns Hopkins, focused on the same topics, and have been really passionate about this ever since, and integrating that with my Christian faith. And just, I'm so grateful for now being part of a community of faith that really sees the work of the ministry to the body and the ministry of the soul to be combined to be really the true interpretation of the gospel. So that's my journey, and I'm so thrilled to be here.
Johns Hopkins University is a well-respected university, so you definitely got the training, and then you worked with international aid organizations for a period of time. Is that correct?
Yes, I've worked with different, generally Christian organizations. But back 10 plus years ago, the first time I ever went to Africa, I was a volunteer with the U.S. government, just a short-term program. And I got there as a nutritionist, and I didn't start out with any idea of building an organization. I just was there as a nutritionist going out into villages. And I started just observing and listening and realizing that the people there, they were not lacking intelligence or motivation, but they were lacking practical knowledge and hope. And the simple cooking classes that I was leading, the mothers got really excited. I saw children jumping up and down asking for the beans that we were cooking. And I just felt that I had to do something. I couldn't just go home and be the same. And so the ministry that I lead, Farm Stew, is really born out of that just observation and listening to both first the people out in the villages, but then to God telling me to hire the local people. And we've been doing that ever since.
So you built a better mousetrap.
Maybe so. We like to say we're helping people help themselves move from extreme poverty to abundant life. And when we share what we're doing, how we're using biblical principles and combining that with practical skills, a lot of people think, hey, you're giving a man a fish, or teaching a man to fish, instead of giving him a fish. And we don't generally do a lot with fishing, but we focus on farming, and it's the same principles.
You know, just there has been studies on the efficacy of international aid, and some of it has come up wanting, and I think that's probably the reason why the direction of your ministry.
Amen. Yeah, there's so many things, and you know, even in my 20s, I was, once I first got exposed and I came out of college with my, you know, freshly minted bachelor's degree in nutrition, and I really thought I was going to get to save the world. And, you know, I personally went and experienced a type of charity that I don't think was very effective. And, you know, partly it was me going down there, trying to learn the language, trying to learn the culture, dealing myself personally amongst very poor people and feeling terribly guilty and not terribly effective. And I think that the model of empowering fellow church members and, you know, strong Christian people with skill sets in agriculture and, you know, public health, education, nursing. I mean, we have been able to hire now over 160 local trainers in all these different countries. We're working now in 25 countries. And so we hire the local people. They already know the culture, the language. They are committed to their faith, and they're so excited to be able to be a blessing in the villages where, you know, they hear stories, they understand the suffering. Many of them grew up in very poor environments, and now they have a solution to offer, and it's very exciting.
So your ministry is very effective. The dollars go a long way, a lot of bang for the buck.
Exactly, and we keep our team here in North America very small, and that's because we want to be excellent stewards of whatever resources God impresses someone to put into the hands of FarmStew, which you can do on farmstew.org. You can just go and make a donation right there. We have a system where for $37 a month, people can transform the lives of an entire family forever. And it's exciting. It pans out to be $1.25 a day. And there's not much you can do for $1.25 a day that will have any lasting significance. But FarmStew, you're going to change lives often for eternity.
And for that $37 a month, at a certain point, the individuals graduate and others are given the same privilege.
Exactly. Yeah, it's quite an intensive program. We have our local trainers going out into the villages weekly for the first year, then monthly, then quarterly. And as we're doing that, we're training them on a 500-page curriculum that focuses in what we call eight areas called the Recipe for Abundant Life. It's farming and attitude, rest and meals, spells farm, and then sanitation, temperance, enterprise, and water. And what's kind of fun is we figured out in the last year that they go in pairs. So, for example, farming and meals, those trainings help people to grow and then eat nutritious food, thereby fighting hunger. And then attitude and rest work together to really reset the mind and provide hope. And then the sanitation and water really turns out to help have people clean homes, water and sanitation, and that saves lives from, you know, communicable diseases that they would be getting otherwise. And then finally, the enterprise and the temperance work together, because with those two, people can do savings and budgeting and start small businesses and fight their own way out of extreme poverty. So it's quite a little design that we have. And if people go on our website and they're curious about it, they can just put in their email and we will send them the vision for change that outlines everything I've just said. And you can see why it really is effective.
That coupling of those acronyms, you use all eight letters, but you group them together. I love that. Well, tell us some real life impact stories.
There are so many. So I'm often best at remembering my most recent trip. So the last place I was in was in Panama. And I, you know, some people might think, oh, you know, they're pretty well-to-do in Panama. And that's true in certain parts of the country. But we are now working with the church there in an indigenous people group up in the mountains in Panama. And I was there. We were trekking through muddy trails for an hour in and, you know, up and down mountains and everything. And it was amazing to get there. We arrived, and I will tell you, the people that were not participating in the Farm Stew program, I passed many homes where I saw children that were, you know, dirty, they were malnourished. You know, I could see the color of their hair, this sometimes a red tint in hair that is from a people group that generally have black hair. There, that's an indication of protein deficiency. Or you can see it on their skin where maybe they're just having, you know, wounds that are not healing because their immune system is so weakened by the lack of micronutrients, things like that. But then we got to the Farm Stew villages where our local trainers are working, and people had literally hiked for hours to come. Like, I thought I was hiking a long ways, but the local people, many of them had come from not just the village where we were targeting the work, but the news had spread, and there was people that were walking 2 hours every single week that our trainer would come and teach the lesson to be there. And there was one village in particular, it was called Guacamayo, but I called it Guacamole just to help remember. And the women there were so excited, and there was a big sign that was painted that said Farm Stew, and there was all these handprints on the sign with names written in. And as I talked to a woman named Rosa about what was going on in that community, she was the local leader there, and she was the only one of the women that had ever gone to college from that community. And therefore, the handprints were these women's signature. And you said they graduate. These women had become certified Farm Stew homes, and they pulled out their certificates, and they were so proud. So even though they couldn't read or write, but they now had a home that had the key elements for having an abundant life, like a latrine, a hand washing station, a garden with three or more vegetables, children that were not malnourished. They weren't brewing alcohol with the food that they grow, which sadly happens in so many places. And they were either part of a savings club or they were starting a small business. So those are some of the requirements that we have for the certified Farm Stew home. And they had done it, and they were so proud and so excited.
Joy, as you shared your story of traveling up there and you were passing villages that had not yet been impacted by Farm Stew, and then you arrived at the Farm Stew communities, it makes me think of that phrase as light shining on a hill, a city shining on a hill, and the people were coming to that city. You know, Joy.
Yes, amen. And you know, it's heartbreaking because, like, for example, in Panama, we have five trainers that we've deployed and one leader, so six people total. But I mean, if I had 600, I could deploy 600 people just in Panama. And so, you know, we really want to grow this organization, not for our egos or for the budget or anything, but for being able to deploy more people in the field. And you mentioned the path again, and I just want to say we were walking out after that high of being out there in the villages, and we were hiking out, and sadly there was some people we saw up ahead. There were two young men carrying a log, a sizable stick, and on the log was hanging a hammock, and in the hammock was a very, very sick man. And it was so heartbreaking because we stopped and we spoke with him. I do speak Spanish, fortunately, so I could communicate, and our team was talking to him, and He could hardly even talk. We talked to the young men more, and sadly, he had been so sick. There's no medical care out in so many parts in the world where we work. There's very, very little access to medical care, and he had gone but had been sent home, and we found out a few days later that man died, and it just breaks my heart because, you know, he was on the main trail with us. He probably wasn't in one of our Farm Stew villages. He was in one of the ones, you know, our trainers had never met the guy before. And it just made me think about all the paths and all the trails and all the huts around the world where there are people that God loves and Jesus died for, and he wants them to have an abundant life, and they just don't know how to achieve it. And that's what really motivates me, is getting out there and beating the disease, beating the hunger, beating the poverty, and helping people help themselves to not fall victim to that type of unnecessary loss.
You know, I see, I was on your website again before the broadcast, but we receive your newsletter, and I often see you in the field with the people, and that's so impressive. It sends such a message to your donors as well as to others that you are out there walking the trails and getting dirty and working side by side of your staffers.
Well, that's my favorite part of the work, honestly. I they are such inspiring people, and you know, I have my own story of the Lord calling me into this work, but what's super fun for me is to be there on a Sabbath afternoon and get to hear those stories of how each and every person involved feels a divine call to this work. And please do keep me in your prayers, all you listeners. I'm heading next month to India, which we've not had work there before, but we're going to start it. I've been invited to meet with about 400 pastors there. So that's a really exciting opportunity. They're going to let me do some training at their conference. And then I'll be heading to Malawi, where we have a very active team. And in addition to the local work in the country of Malawi, we're also setting up a virtual learning program, virtual learning community that we're running out of Malawi, by Malawians are running it. And we're starting e-learning cohorts all around the world. So if people are listening to Farm Stew and maybe they're interested for their own personal edification here in the U.S. area, or if they have people that they love around the world who are in desperate circumstances, you can go onto the farmstew.org website and just /learn, and you can sign up for the next e-learning cohort. And we're going to be having it in 12 languages. So our goal is to reach all nations, tribes, and tongues. We're going to start with 12 of the most spoken languages in the world. And so please send people that way. And it's free to sign up. We're charging a small amount for a certificate just to help make the program sustainable. But anybody can take the course anywhere in the world. And we look forward to deploying more people. Those people won't be paid like our paid trainers, but they will be people that can learn and share in their own communities.
You mentioned a few different countries already, but you are in 25 of the most impoverished countries of the world, impacting over 50,000 families and increasing continuously.
Exactly. And honestly, it's just, it's God. I stand in awe. There's so much that I feel like He's called us to do. And really, the work that we're doing, I believe, is just so relevant to everyone listening, because many of us know that our job is to share the gospel. And we sometimes call it even the everlasting gospel. And that gospel needs to go out to all nations, tribes, tongues, and people. But then there's a verse in Revelation that talks about that, and it's the revelation of Jesus. So I like to say, you know, how did Jesus think about the gospel? And when I go back to that question, I think of where he was speaking in, it's recorded in Luke chapter 4. He went to the synagogue and he was given the scroll of Isaiah, and he was handed the scroll, and he could have chosen anywhere in Isaiah to read, but he stood up and he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel." Do you know what the next word is, Tom?
I'm drawing a blank. I'm sorry.
It's okay. I don't think we hear this preached very often, and everybody I ask seems to draw a blank. But it says to preach the gospel, so the everlasting gospel, to the poor. And then he says, he has sent me to heal up the brokenhearted,
right,
to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And if you unpack that, that's Luke chapter 4, verse 16 and 19 through 19. You know, Farm Stew is really a gospel that is good news to the poor and brokenhearted. And then when we talk about the captives and the oppressed, which Jesus was very concerned about, that many people throughout the world are actually captive. They're human trafficked. They're slaves now in so many places. And in general, most of those people actually sell themselves or their children or their wives into that type of slavery, or the men sell themselves into that type of slavery because they're desperately poor and they don't feel like they have any other choice. And so what Farm Stew is doing is bringing liberty to those who are oppressed, helping them understand, hey, you don't have to make that desperate decision to sell yourself or sell your children into slavery. And sadly, I didn't know a lot about this issue until I started seeing it. I've been on airplanes that are full, like half the plane behind me was full of women who are selling themselves from Uganda to go into the Middle Eastern countries and go be domestic servants. And I recently did and those domestic servants basically have no rights. And I recently did a Vespers for a group in Asia. I won't name the country, but it was for a group of Adventists wanting to have a Vespers service. And they had to meet at 10 o'clock at night, their time. And I was thinking, why? Vespers, you know, that starts at, I don't know, 6 or 7, right? No, these women, it was almost all women, and they were domestic servants in households in high-rise apartments. They don't even have a bedroom. They just have like a little couch maybe to sleep on and some little corner where they put their things. And they have to wait until everybody else is basically asleep until they get even a minute off. And these people don't get to go to church. So these Vespers are like their lifeline. And these are Adventist people who are coming from other developed countries going to this more developed Asian country. And I mean, they are captives. And I'm giving you a little sermon, but Tom, I just get so excited about it. And this last part of Jesus' verse, it says to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And I think if the Jewish hearers who were listening to Jesus read from the scroll of Isaiah, they would probably associate that with the Jubilee year, the year that slaves were free, the year that debts were forgiven, and the year that people went back to their land. And they would go and work the land and become productive farmers again. And so that's really what Farm Stew is proclaiming, is the gospel to the poor, the everlasting gospel that we're supposed to share all around the world to all people, every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, that it really is very closely associated with the Farm Stew message. And the church leaders around the world are starting to see that and invite us in, and it's just God's exploding the ministry. And we just continue to ask for your support and prayers to help make that possible.
Amen. Well, when you were talking about selling themselves, these individuals, we're doing a 6-part series with Dr. Tom Evans of Child Impact International. And as you're talking, these things are hand in glove. You can't separate these issues. These are worldwide issues.
Absolutely. And, you know, Child Impact is doing a great work, really working with the people that have gone through the process of being trafficked and helping to restore them. And public health is a science of prevention. And I really do believe that Farm Stew is what we call primary prevention, of trying to stop this before it even starts. And I've spent some time with Tom and his crew, and I'm excited for all the different ministries that God has called into action so that we can all do different parts and work as a body together with our different parts.
But definitely heading in the same direction.
Yes, exactly.
Tell our listeners at home, they aren't living in extreme poverty. Most of us aren't here in the United States. What can Farm Stew teach families in America about health, finance, purpose, and abundant life?
Yeah, thank you for asking. It's actually so incredibly relevant because, honestly, this is the health message embodied. And if you look at the letters of Farm Stew, it's very similar to other health messages. We just assume that people will get fresh air, exercise, and sunshine while they're out in their garden. And, in fact, gardening is one of the best ways to get exercise, fresh air, and sunshine, which we really encourage everybody to get. And not everybody can do that year-round in our climate. But definitely be thinking already about your garden. And then also, yeah, the proper sanitation. For example, we teach hand washing. And, I mean, there's just a simple science to doing that well that could actually prevent a lot of diseases. And then I'll just mention one more area, enterprise. We have a program called the Money Map. And it really helps people differentiate between their needs and their wants, and helping people to learn to save and to budget and even create a small business. So So again, I want to point people to our website. We have a really fun page where children who have learned about FarmStew and want to get involved, they have actually been taught about FarmStew in their Sabbath school class or even Sunday school class, and they've learned about FarmStew and they want to help other kids around the world. And we say, well, instead of going out and like necessarily begging for money, go ahead and start a little enterprise. And so if you go to our website, farmstew.org, and get involved, there's a link called Inspire Kids. And on there, you will see short videos of children who have actually started small enterprises. One boy raking leaves, another growing flowers, another baking cookies, another young woman helping her father with a honey business. So these are kids that are learning not only to be missional, but also to be entrepreneurial. And they give some of the proceeds then to FarmStew. And that's been a really fun way to get people involved. And the woman who helped us do that is right there in Berrien Springs. Her name is Debbie Anvik. And fortunately, she has recently retired and is going to help mentor people to do more of that work. And so we would love for people to just email us at info@farmstew.org. That's just info@farmstew.org. We can get you more information about how to, get your church involved, get kids involved, and really benefit from the FarmStew recipe for abundant life in your own family.
Our time went very quickly, Joy, but besides our children getting involved, how else can our listeners get involved with FarmStew?
Well, one of the most important things you can do is pray. Our people are in communities that are tough communities around the world, and they face a lot of dangers and even physical dangers, spiritual dangers. And we just ask for our people to be covered in prayer, and we're so grateful for that. They can also share this mission with others. So we invite the word of mouth. That's the best way. So if you've never heard about FarmStew, please go online and learn about us. And if you do know about FarmStew, please tell others about it. And then we also, our way of supporting a family through FarmStew, like I said, $37 a month, that's $444 a year to train, equip, a coach, a family for an entire program of FarmStew to move out of extreme poverty and into abundant life. And then if you have donors that are capable, we would love for them to pray about sponsoring a village. If you take that $444 amount and multiply it by 40, I put it in my calculator and was happily surprised it came out 1776-0. So 1776 is the year that we think of freedom, and we're coming up here. We're now in 2026, 250 years later, and we can train an entire village out of extreme poverty, and it's $17,760. People can pay that at a monthly time or a one time or a different intervals. So again, that's on our website, farmstew.org/village, if you want to learn about villages that are eligible for sponsorship.
I think one of the amazing things that 60% of the people enrolled in these programs exit poverty before the end of the program. Well, listeners, you've been listening to Strong Tower Feature with your host, Tom Majeure, on Strong Tower Radio with Joy Kaufman of FarmStew. You may want to look at her website, farmstew.org, and of course, strongtowerradio.org or str.fm. God bless until the next time. Bye now.